Hello, folks. It's Toby Morrell here. And this episode's going to be a little different. You see, we recorded an episode, but we're not going to put it out because it was a music draft about the worst people we've ever toured with. I'll leave it there. It got a little mean, so we felt a little weird about it. You know what I mean? Anyway, so this episode now, what you're about to hear is a CTA from something that we are not going to ever let out, but you will get to hear the CTA, which is informative and funny. And then you're going to get to listen to an episode of Sex 101. It's my other podcast with Dr. Stormy. And it is awesome. This is about sex positions. And you need those. I mean, imagine if the world didn't have sex positions. The world would be so bad without sex positions. Like, I mean, it would be really bad. We have a 130-year-old man as our president in the United States of America. There's a war going on between Russia and Ukraine. And I don't know, nobody's talked about it in months. M-U-N-C-E. Anyway, I'm having a good time. I just kind of want to keep chatting with you guys. But we need to get to the CTA. In the episode of Sex 101 about sex positions. You're going to love it. So, without further ado, here's the podcast.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's Ollie.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Oh, yeah, Mark.
What's the most used accent to say hello? It has to be British, right?
Hello. Hello, mate. No, Australian.
Australian more than British?
Hello, mate.
Hello, mate.
Hello, every accent mate. I tried descends into Indian eventually.
It all mine goes all go Australian.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's been a while since we podcasted, guys.
Yeah, it has been.
A couple weeks.
Feels, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a bit. We got a lot going on, too.
Yes, we do.
So, let's get right out of the gate here.
So, next Thursday, we're going to start a little tour, In Shallow Seas We Sail.
That'll
tour.
Be this well, actually, Thursday.
This Tuesday. Amigo. This Thursday.
This Thursday?
Well, this Friday.
Well,
Friday's the first
show. Oh, yeah,
show
I'm sorry.
Week.
Yes, this
we were
Thursday.
Way off.
Sorry. Wait. Yeah, no, our first show is Friday. So, we're leaving Thursday. Yeah. Our first show is this Friday. Yes. July 21st.
Yeah.
In Nashville, Tennessee. July 22nd, which by the way, guys, I don't know if you know this or not. That's my birthday. July 22nd. That's my birthday.
So it is. Birmingham, Alabama at Saturn. We get to party in that upstairs green room.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna get some stay there. What if they let us stay there? It's an Airbnb, isn't it? Didn't it have bedrooms?
Probably.
At least one.
Yeah, it has beds.
In Birmingham.
Yeah.
Let's ask them. We can ask them. I bet we could pay a little something.
Hey, there was a cool venue in Mobile y'all should do that had a similar situation.
Oh, yeah?
I'll send it to you. Yeah, they had an apartment upstairs they let us stay in.
That's cool.
Nice. Well, we're going to sell enough tickets to Mobile. But I don't know. Last time we played there was good.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I mean, Anthony Burton doesn't sell any
last
tickets.
Time we played there, we played there, right? At that time, that band had that reunion show, Toby.
Yeah,
isn't that
was
right?
Fun. Yeah.
That was one of the most fun times I always have fun down there. But, that was one of the times I got super drunk in my recent multi-year memory, for sure.
Yeah, we got hammered on that one.
That was really fun.
Well, maybe we can experience the same in Birmingham this time.
Hope and not. Then Atlanta, Atlanta, Georgia, the Masquerade on July 23rd, 25th, Tampa, 26th, Orlando, 27th, Columbia, South Carolina.
That is a run, bro.
28th, 29th is for Lovers. Yep. OBX.
God damn.
Outer Banks. That one's going to be something. That one's going to be something. And then July 30th, Asheville. We're going to be back up in Asheville. The Great Eagle. Never played there before.
Yeah, kind of I don't know. Great Eagle.
Looking forward to it.
I went and looked at all those tour dates because I was curious where you are going, because I saw in the text thread y'all mentioned it. And I actually felt sad that I didn't get to go. That I don't get to go.
Really?
On the whole tour. Yeah, I was like, I haven't wanted to go on a run like that. I mean, think how much fun we would have. Mm-hmm. Nashville, Atlanta, Birmingham, Florida, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Orlando on a Friday night.
Hell fucking yeah.
We're in Orlando on a Friday night.
I think Oh, you're not? Okay.
I think it's like a,
Wednesday
maybe
night.
A Wednesday or Thursday.
Orlando on a Wednesday night.
Orlando on a Saturday. You go to another realm.
On Orange Street.
It's another planet. Yeah. Orlando on a Saturday night is realm another entirely. Planet.
Wow. They make you play at 5 o'clock.
So fun. Just
if you go to Orlando on a Saturday night, it becomes a scene from planet Earth. You're part of a herd of something that happens.
Different.
Yeah, it's crazy. You just all the clubs and everybody's just
become
dressed,
part of the flow.
It's just like, golly, this is so fun.
And we're going to be playing with some cool bands too. We're playing with Slow Joy, who we recently got connected with, Esteban.
Yeah.
He's a really cool dude, and Slow Joy is awesome. I really think it's cool. It's really, really old school emo stuff, which I like. So, Strawberry Girls, which is an instrumental band, which is really awesome too. So, I'm excited about that musically. So, we're going to be performing all of it shall see as we sail. And then also we have a pre-show where we will play While Broken Hearts Prevail EP acoustic. And so these will only be on the club dates, not the festival dates, but we're going to do those. And if you're in Emeryland, you get a free pre-show ticket, which is worth $40. So if you're not in Emeryland, you got to pay $40. But and there's only 50 per show. And I think some are almost sold out. So make sure you get those. They're very limited. Joy Emeryland, go to emerymusic.com, and that's where you can get those tickets as well.
Yeah. Also, a couple more things. We are asking people to join Emeryland to help us fund our new album. We're projected the new album will cost us about $29,000, about $30,000 to make. So if you're in Emeryland, you will be helping us make that record. Like, that is exactly where your money goes to. And all the demos that we created for the next album are basically all already in there. They're already in Emeryland. So you can listen to the new songs now before they get done and for what they will become. It's really cool. We have a new album. That new album will be in Emeryland as soon as we get done, but months before the public gets it.
There's probably going to be a lot more intermediate steps too. We've got a bunch of stuff in process that will be shared probably by now. I think by the time this podcast comes out, there should be another round of updated progress from where they were little demo, little babies, just little sperms. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to be further along progress on these songs. They're toddler level songs right now.
Sperms.
Yeah, now they're and so we got like 16 songs that are now developed. It's like having 16 kids, and then we're gonna keep working with that.
This has got very fucking sexual.
Sperm.
Yeah, well,
sperm becomes children.
Yeah, but you
that's not sexual. That's what children are made out of.
What did you impregnate? Your guitar? What did you impregnate to get the songs?
Okay, children are made of sperm. What is so weird about that?
And eggs.
They're made of sperm and period eggs. And they come to life.
Very true.
That's what we're all made out of, a mixture of like women's and men's like sperm and eggs and stuff. That's what you're made out of.
The sperm in your dad's balls is you.
You're like, made of it.
How's that possible?
The ingredients for you is sperm is half of it.
Yeah.
It is crazy. 50% water, 50% sperm.
An egg that comes out in a menstrual cycle and sperm are the only two ingredients for a human being.
That's insane. So small, too.
There are no other
amount of growth, the percentage of growth from sperm, egg to human, to, you know what I mean? Like Yao Ming. Like, isn't that insane? Like, this Yao Ming's dad's sperm and mom's eggs were the same size as everybody else. They're just tiny little nothings, and it made Yao Ming.
Right, and that's right.
Insane.
Like, if you want to make Yao Ming, someone said, what are the ingredients? Well, there are only two.
Crazy thing about Yao Ming, they're only allowed to have one kid. What kind of lottery
that's
is
like
that?
Some like, workaround. Right, he's like three.
Yeah, we got one chance.
Yeah.
And here's what we made.
That's a triple.
And forever, triple. Forever, when they had the one kid, if it was a girl, they went, oh, God. Like they were mad if they had girls.
Yeah. But that like got mad. That got when. Yeah, well, that got out. When we went to China, that's what the guy was telling us, was like it got pretty out of whack because now there's all these men that exist and they have to hyper compete to get the women. So the women then have all the, like, and so all the men had to get nice cars and do all this stuff and they're in hyper competition. So it's like the demographics got all, I mean, pretty screwed up by that. So that winds up that the women became way more valuable as a result.
That's wild.
Something like that. That's what they were saying.
So anyway, join Emory Land. You get 20% off everything.
How in God's name do we get?
Because the songs are like little sperm children. I said the demos are sperm.
Jizzed in the back of his guitar.
He jizzed in the back of his Fender.
He jizzed in the
fucking new song came out.
What else is it? A song, but starts with a demo, which is like DNA.
That's why Matt loves Hollow Bodies so much. Just right in there.
Do you know when you send that, when you upload the song to Spotify, you know what that's like equal to? Going off to college. That's when they go to college.
I see.
That's when the song is done.
Okay. Okay.
Matt, you have a tear in your eye every time we upload a song to Spotify.
Right. Every time with developing it is done.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, you get 20% off everything at emorymusic.com. Songs and stories, tickets, custom songs, Marriage Supply, our adult toy store. Make sure you go there, get some toys. I've been thinking about giving a sex toy to new Emorylanders. Like if you join Emoryland, you get a nice cock ring. Maybe you get a sleeve maybe you get a vibrator. Maybe you get some lube. I don't know. That's something that I've just been thinking about. So we'll revisit that. So go to emorymusic.com to join and help us make that new record. And you get your name read. Matt, do you have the names pulled up? Can you got the CTA?
I can get them. Yeah, 1 second. All right. Names are got them.
Okay, you got them?
Yep.
This one was interesting because all the people sent in along with their names, their favorite conspiracy theory.
Okay. Austin Dreyer.
His is that Melania Trump has a doppelganger who follows Donald Trump around on all official business.
Nice.
Pretty good.
Could be
true.
Adrian Tejada.
That we're actually doing this episode. It's a conspiracy. It's not true. No. Theirs is that Finland doesn't exist, if you can believe it.
There's no Finland. You can't go there.
Yeah, the theory evolved on Reddit in 2015. It was called it suggested that Finland was a fabricated landmass dreamed up by the Japanese and Soviet Union during the Cold War in an effort to secure fishing rights in the Baltic Sea. So that's a loose one.
Okay, Danny Norman.
That there's an elite cohort of reptiles that rule the earth, and among them is Justin Bieber. You know, a lot of people believe that one, that lizard people thing. Like, that's a real one. And that's the thing I don't ever understand about that, real quick, just on a side note. Why would they be lizards? You know what I mean? Like, why do we think we're the most evolved thing ever, but these lizards will show up, and they're so smart that they traveled here, like way smarter than us. It's just weird that it would be a lizard. It's just that just seems like it might would look like a
reptile
or better than us.
It's the reptile. It's that the reptile is cold blooded, so that they're easy to hate. They're non feeling reptilian species. That's what you need them to be. Josh Hatmaker.
All right, Josh Hatmakers is let's see here. That Queen Elizabeth was a cannibal. I guess I should say. The queen is dead. Definitely. Long live the king. Now, I say.
Sorry, I had an emergency upstairs.
Is everything all right?
Yeah. Megan's okay. I think she had like a extreme stomach pain or something. Oh. She was kind of freaking out. So I think she's okay. If I run off again, you'll know why. Yeah. So, good okay. Lord. What did I miss?
We're just reading the listeners' names.
I'm going to repick my last pick, but go ahead.
Okay. Perfect. The queen supposedly had human flesh in the freezer, and I forget who found it. Somebody that used to work for her. All right, what's the next one?
She had human flesh in the freezer, the queen.
Yeah, let's see. It said she must eat human flesh to be so vivacious. It says Humdinger's reports said the serviceman at Windsor Castle claimed to discover human remains inside the queen's private freezer.
She's like keeping some cookie dough in
there. Yeah, maybe that's how she lived so long.
Just a little late night snack. Right.
All right.
Okay,
you got another name?
Robert Blyth.
His was that chemicals in the water are turning frogs gay.
Turning frogs gay.
Yeah. So there's chemical warfare, and it's changing the sexual orientation, I guess, of animals. That's a real one. These are all real theories. Anybody else?
Alex Jones said that.
Anyone else?
No, that's it. That's all the names. All right, that's the club. Members.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Is it hard for you to talk about your sexual wants, needs, and desires? Well, you're not alone. It's hard for everybody. And that's no pun intended. Are you hard right now and can't talk about it? Well, if so, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm Toby. I'm from the band Emery. I've also led a bunch of men's groups with the True Man Experience. And I'm working on this podcast with Dr. Stormy, who is an amazing sex coach who has helped so many people. And that's what we're here to do. We were here to open up the conversation. You need to be able to talk about your sexual desires, your wants, and yes, even your needs, and where you can take your sex life with your partner. So sit back, relax. We're taking listener questions. We're going to have a great episode. Join us, because this is the sex education you always wish you would have gotten. All right, we're back with the Sex 101 podcast. How are you doing, Stormy?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been traveling. I know you've been traveling. It's funny. It was really funny, like, while I was traveling, because my girlfriend actually went with us. So it was a little bit of a bizarre time, because I was basically on a family vacation mixed with a tour with my band with my new girlfriend and kids. You know,
That's a lot of roles.
Yeah, you're wearing a lot of hats. And honestly, the kids and her get along super well. And it was just, you know, it was more like it was fun, because we would all share a hotel room. It was like a big sleepover. And it was really relaxed and fun and easy. There was definitely no sex happening. Zero. We might have held hands once. You know, for a second,
kind of a vacation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was not about. It wasn't a sexy vacation whatsoever. So, and that was actually good. That, in some ways, I think that is. I mean, it maybe that's even obvious, but that helped us grow together in ways. I think, already. Like when you're around your kids and your love interests and all that stuff, and it's not about flirty or being cute with each other, or you know, because we went to New York and with you know with my three kids, that's not. Like walk through Central Park and oh look at this, you know, not that. It's like the kids are like, it's hot. This subway stinks. I don't like Times Square. Totally. We went to Times Square and my kids are like, can we go to McDonald's over there? I was like, yeah, we can. so it wasn't sexy at all. And but you know, that helps you grow a lot. But
Right. That adds so much breadth to the relationship. Sex is just one factor of it.
No, I know. So anyway, enough about me. This is going to be a very fun episode because it's the top five sex positions you should try tonight. And and I like this.
I'll try all five. Yeah. Try all five. No, yeah.
I don't know if you'll be able to try all five, but you could try, but it might be fun just to even try one, you know? So, exactly. But this is going to be fun because I think a lot of times people ask this question a lot, like what will spice it up or what will feel good or what's the best position that works for us or our body types or whatever that might be. So I think this is going to be just a really good episode. I'm kind of excited about it.
Fun. Yeah, totally. I agree. And like when we've talked about this in other episodes, but like the most common positions in the United States are, you know, kind of what you'd expect, like missionary, doggy style, right? Those are some of the most common positions in the United States. So they're not bad, right? That's the thing. It's like people think you have to like dig deep into the Kama Sutra for like exotic sex positions. It's like a lot of the ones that we're going to go through today, like are just even maybe variations on positions that you already know and are familiar with. But what you're doing is you're adding variety to the way that you have sex. And that in and of itself is sexy and spicy. So,
oh yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. I'm excited to hear what number one is. Are you counting down? Okay, is this top five, like the one is the best, or is it just they're all equal?
It might be a little stormy bias in here, but no, these are not in order of like pleasure or anything. I may have had my own personal bias sneak in here.
This isn't Stormy's top five here. This is just the top five for everybody here.
Yeah. But actually, that's a great point you bring up, right? So when I was, you know, I was like, because I always go to the research first, right? So we talked about the most common positions, right? But what I did choose these positions on, and I'll be so curious to get your perspective, Toby, is that these, I did them through the female lens, because so much of our information in our culture is through the male lens or the masculine lens. And so when you look at things like the pleasure gap or the orgasm gap, which we've talked about many times about like that the most women or vagina owners cannot orgasm with penetration alone, there's what we call an orgasm gap. And so these positions that I selected today, these five, are really about helping to bridge that orgasm gap. So helping it to be, to have more clitoral stimulation, to bring more pleasure to the woman, and to really, because, you know, if it's pleasure for one, it's pleasure for both, that shared pleasure and individual pleasure. So this is through the female lens. It's funny when you do research, it's like men top five positions and female top five positions often don't line up so much. So it's about like, again, this is why we're not saying try all five of these. It's like maybe mix one of these into the positions you already do, right? What we're trying to encourage you about is don't just go right to what you always do, because it's great. That will always be in your repertoire, but broadening your repertoire keeps it sexy, keeps it spicy, keeps it flirty, and keeps it new. Like there might be a position you haven't tried that you're like, wow, that brings so much pleasure. And so that's what we're encouraging our listeners to explore.
All right, let's get to it.
Awesome. All right, so it's not number one. Well, it's not like top priority, but the first one is actually a spin on missionary, and it's called the coital alignment technique. So the CAT, like cat, but it's really missionary with the twist, right? So it's missionary with the woman laying on the bottom, and then the man on top, just like you would a missionary, but the man is up higher. So the man literally brings his shoulders up higher, about 5 or 6 inches higher than normal on the woman or on the bed. And so that the way that the penis penetrates is different. There's a lot more clitoral stimulation from the penis, right? And also from the weight of the pelvis. To even make this more pleasurable for the woman, I recommend putting a pillow or a little wedge under the woman's hips, right? So you have a different angle of the pelvis, and then you have a different angle of the penis. So it's called the coital alignment technique. And I love like to say like great sex is in the angles, right? So when we change the angles, we change the quality of the sex, right? And so just by putting a pillow under your hips or a wedge under your hips and the man moving up higher, there's different angles. And so it's a really great technique that can really provide a lot of stimulation to the clitoris.
Yeah, that's awesome. You men out there here, it's not the dangle, it's the angle. Don't you get, and I agree with that. I think there really is something to that. Like it's interesting sometimes how you can be having sex and then all of a sudden you just hit the right angle and both of you mm-hmm. Both of you are like, feel it together. Totally. Or so you're like, whoa,
totally.
Something's happening
like,
here.
Well, that's different, right? That's new. I like that. More of that.
It's like,
please,
what?
Right?
It's like when you're cooking, that salt I added. Wow. That's exactly what I needed. It tasted pretty good before, but exactly. Now. Yeah, yeah. Exactly, that's exactly how it goes.
Totally. I love that. Right. And so that's like just the angle, the change of the angle. And obviously this position we talked about in our episode we did on missionary. But so this is missionary with a spin and it's kind of terrible. I mean, I think it's terrible, unsexy, the coital alignment technique,
yeah,
but
no.
It's like, so ignore the name, but yeah. It is a great position. And also a lot of still getting that like nice eye contact that you can have with your partner being over you and a nice view for both partners. So.
Yeah, if you want to sext, just sext tonight. We're doing coital alignment.
I can't wait to coitally align with you,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I have a question about the coital alignment. Okay, so uh-huh. She's laying on her back. I'm, well, not me. He, the guy, the person with the penis is, you said up a little higher. And then, so the position of the penis is kind of more going straight down than
right
like
so
that
not as deep in penetration.
Yeah,
this isn't like necessarily a G-spot penetrative technique, but it's really the angle up and down, more up and down is going to put more pressure from the penis and also the weight of the pelvis of the man's pelvis onto the pubic bone and onto the clitoris for the woman.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, nice. I like that. Yeah. Now at the end when you come back, I'm using hand motions for people that are just listening.
We both are.
Go to the YouTube. Go to the YouTube. So when you come back, you could do like, can you do like a little thrust in? So then you could maybe hit the G-spot too. You know what I mean? Could you do
totally.
A double kind of, like you're hitting the clitoris, but then you could kind of maybe something mm-hmm. like that. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Right. And so we just talked about the angles, right? So
yeah.
Change. I mean, all of these positions, by the way, change the angle, change the tempo, change the depth of penetration. Like these are all ways to bring, like you mentioned, to bring variety within a position, right?
Yeah.
And people, like, you don't have to like change positions every 30 seconds or whatever. Sometimes you might not want to. You might find a really good sweet spot. You're like, let's, right? But then the ability, like, and giving yourself and your partner full permission to be like, oh, I love that. Please more of that, right? Like, so to give feedback to your partner, because we try to like mind read often in relationships and we certainly try to do it in the bedroom, and it's really just a waste of everyone's time because it's much just we might misinterpret. We're definitely doing it through our own lens, our own projection. So giving actual feedback with your words, with your breath, with your body to your partner is really great.
Yeah. All right, coital alignment, I like it. What's next?
So the next one, they call it free as air, but the man is on the bottom, okay, and the woman is facing away. So it might be like beginning of reverse cowgirl. Okay. So the man's laying on the bed. Woman is, this is for cis hetero couples that we're talking about. The woman is facing away. Okay. And then she lays back on him. Right. So the woman is literally like, that's why she's free as air. Right. She's just, there's no weight on her. Right. So the penis is inside and she lays back on her man. Okay. There's amazing angles in this position. There's also perfectly unobstructed access to the clitoris for either her to touch her own clitoris or for the man to reach around and touch her clitoris while having penetrative sex. So that's free as air.
Okay. So she sits on top and leans back all the way. Like she's laying on his chest.
She can lay all the way. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, wow. All the way back on his chest. Right. So again, use lube. I say this in every episode, but also move slowly, right? Like you might only want to move a little. You might want to lay back part of the ways, and you can, and the woman can support herself with her hands behind her if she doesn't want to lay back fully. It's also a really lovely view for the man, right? He gets to watch his woman move on top of him from the back, which is a nice view for him. And so, yeah, so all the way back or part of the way back, but that's really, and then great access to the clitoris.
I would call that position like just a relaxing cowgirl after a long day of work. Like, it's not, you know, like you did. You want to be a cowgirl. You want to be a cowgirl, but you kind of just want to take, you know what I mean? You just want to put your hands behind you, like you're kind of laying on the beach a little bit or laid back, you know, relaxing curl, like cowgirl. Yeah.
Cowgirl in repose. Right? Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. So number three.
All right. Next one is called the pinner position. So the woman is prone, so flat, laying on the bed, face down on the bed, okay, and the man is penetrating from behind, okay, so it's a little bit of a take on doggy style, but the woman is actually laying flat, and again, similar to the coital alignment technique, the angle of the penis as the man moves up and down inside of her is really amazing for the woman, right? Also, the woman, as you guys are thrusting, the pressure on the pubic bone on the clitoris against the bed actually feels great, right? And she can access her clitoris underneath herself. So that angle and then the access is a really great one. And it's called the pinner position because there's sort of a pinned down aspect to it. So that's a great position as well. And it's, you know, you can often, a lot of people will go from doggy style to this position, and the woman's legs can be together or the woman's legs can be apart. So play with that. Sometimes when we simply change the position of the woman's legs, if the woman is on the bottom, together or apart can add a feeling of tightness, a feeling of snugness, and also a different angle.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you definitely, if she's on the bottom, can use some toys, some vibrators and stuff like that.
Totally.
On the clitoris, mm-hmm. while, you know, her partner is thrusting from behind. So,
yep.
All right. Four.
Awesome. So four, which we just sort of talked about, is missionary with a twist, another missionary with a twist, but missionary with your legs, with the woman's legs crossed or the woman's legs closed. So the man on the outside, instead of typically in missionary, the woman's legs are more splayed, more open, and the man is in between. Again, in a cis hetero couple. So missionary with the woman's legs closed or the woman's legs even crossed can really add different snugness, a different tightness, that feeling of tightness for both partners, actually, and also a different angle, right? It gives the man something to move against, more friction. So again, playing with levels of friction. More friction is not necessarily better, but more friction is different, and maybe you're really going to like that, right? So yeah. It's just a quick, easy spin on missionary to have the woman close her legs or cross her legs.
Yeah, we've talked about it before too. I mean, missionary is so underrated now. It's like almost like it's all like a vanilla joke that's attached to it or something like that. And it is a great position. It really is. Mm-hmm. So if you can just add a little twist to it, it gets even better.
Exactly.
All right, number five.
So I was torn. So I actually did six because. Oh, wow. Okay. So number five, because I was really torn on this, and so is research, by the way. But reverse cowgirl, which means sort of, again, a lot of these have spins. So you can see a lot of these are just variations of one position to another. So it's really easy to move from one position to another. You don't have to go on into like full wheelbarrow or sexing up against a wall, all these positions that are higher in, let's say, athleticism and stamina.
Yeah.
Because that might be great, but you might want to these allow for easy variations within your lovemaking session. So reverse cowgirl, right? So man on the bottom, woman on the top facing away. Again, she can lay varying degrees of back, but that's a great position for her pleasure. And also men report really lovely view. So increasing their pleasure because of a different view on that.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. I think it's a good, all the way around, the view, the position, everything about it feels really sensual, and the movements that are happening, everything about it is just a great position. So, okay.
And the woman gets to be the driver, right? So she gets to drive the depth of penetration, the angle of penetration, the speed of penetration. And so that's really lovely. As a woman, I can say that's really lovely because you are in full control of playing around with what's feeling good to you. And then also reverse cowgirl puts more pressure on the G-spot just by the angle of the woman's pelvis against the man's pelvis.
Yeah, 100%. And I've been kind of thinking this for a while, and I believe everybody should learn, and I'm not joking, it's going to sound like I'm joking, I think everybody should learn to twerk. I think I think that movement for guys and girls, the butt movement, you know, like that control, doing all this stuff, is just something special. There's something.
Totally.
There's something, it's amazing. You know what I mean? Like it's a something that, and I'm saying guys learn it too. I will try to learn it myself, you know, but I think it's something that just adds a little something, you know, even if it's just playful or kind of cutting up or doing something like that, you know, totally. Even, you know, like it's just, it adds a fun and a different dynamic, I think. to
no, you're absolutely right. Like, and not to nerd out, but scientifically, like, right, there's like a, you know, right, like there's a stiffness that happens in our pelvis and our hips that, like, when you practice twerking or moving in that way, whether that's through dance or through sex or through self-pleasure or through all three, you actually, like, free your pelvis, you free your hips. And, like, my own experience with learning that, which was through a course called S Factor, was amazing. Like, wow, I was like, wow, my hips are super tight. And then over time and practicing in different ways, like feeling the relaxation in my hips, which, I mean, I dance differently now. I make love differently now. Like, I have, like, no more hip pain now, right? Wow. So there really is something in,
that's,
like,
awesome,
freeing up the hip. Mm-hmm. I used to, like, wake up with my left hip, like, aching, just probably from too much running back in my younger days. But, and, you know, it's so really that freedom of the hips, because we get really, like, think about it. We're sitting, our pelvis, like, really one of the only times we move our pelvis is when we're having sex or self, maybe self-pleasuring, although not even usually for people. And if we're dancing, maybe, although, right, like, we can be really stiff in our pelvis even when we're dancing. So when we learn to move our pelvis like that, there's a lot of freedom that comes. And in therapeutic yoga, they'll say that we store a lot of fear in our hips, right? So I work in mental health and substance use disorder, and we do a lot of hip openers. Our yoga program does a lot of hip openers because of the theory that we store a lot of fear in our hips. So when we can learn to free our hips and free our pelvis, that there's some letting go of fear that can happen there.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Wow. That's awesome. That's really cool. All right. And you got one more?
Yeah. So the last one is the spoon position, right? So spooning position, woman in front, man spoons, like two spoons in a drawer from behind, snuggles up behind her. Her legs, her knees can be bent or they can be relatively straight. Play around with knees bent, knees straight. Play around if you're the woman with your knees closed or your knees open. Okay, and the man is penetrating from behind, right? So for this one, a lot of times what I'll hear from my clients is like, oh, like, I need a lot of lube. It's like, great. I literally say in every episode, like, have your lube nearby, keep your lube handy, right? But there's a really lovely spooning, has a lot of oxytocin because you're, like, you know, skin to skin, literally the whole spoon, the whole length of the body is skin to skin. There's a really great access to breast for breast play or breast orgasms, right, for the woman. And also, again, great access to the clitoris and to the front of the vulva, just because the woman is in front. She's the front spoon.
Yeah, I love that one. That's one of my all-time favorites. And ladies, you can hook up your man. The ladies do the stiff foot trick where the guy can push.
Yeah, totally. You know that trick? Absolutely. Yeah,
it's like a little step that you can kind of use for
that's a great tip. Totally. It's a great, right? And then play around with that, right? Like, there's a very different sensation for both partners with knees closed, with knees open. Him too, right? He can also bend a knee, put a knee up. He can even put a knee over, right? Yep. So the spoons don't have to be, like, rigid, right? We actually don't want the spoons to be rigid. Right. So, yeah, and I love that. Giving your man something to push against and like, making flexing your feet.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%. All right. These positions are awesome. We'll have to do another one of these too, because this is great. I think this is really helpful. So, all right, I got let's move on to Stump Stormy, because I got, let's see if this one, you might know, I don't know if you're going to know this one or not. I didn't have any clue, but okay.
It's time to Stump Stormy.
How many positions of the Kama Sutra are there to make love? Like,
oh, I should totally know this. I love the Kama Sutra. I have it pocketbook, and then I have the real one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. This one, Specialist Dodd Ali says, and I'll give you a hint. It says there are 8 basic ways to make love and 8 positions, which can be crossed from variants. So they're talking about the variants too. So it is more.
I'm going to go with 84.
Ah, so close. 64.
Oh, so I knew close. It was a 4. I remembered four.
Yeah, you remember the 4. That was really close, though. You're right. Yeah. And this, I don't know how old this article is, so it could be more, but I didn't realize there were that many. So that's interesting that you could try all the variations. And
totally.
You know, that's like 2 months of trying something new. You know?
Well, and there's really fun. I actually do have, I'm pretty sure it was Cosmopolitan. It's like hot pink. I have it in my drawer, but it's like, I think it's called the, like, pocket size Kama Sutra.
Yeah.
I have the real Kama Sutra, which are beautiful, but the pocket size, the Cosmo version lists the positions, all 64. And then it gives you the athleticism and, like, the props needed. Right. So it's kind of fun because it's like a quick flip book. I mean, I've had it for so long, it might not even be a print anymore, but it's, you know, it was literally like hot pink. and it's Pocket Size Kama Sutra. And it's, they, I liked it because it gave you like, it showed just the variety. You can literally flip through it with your lover and be like, oh, let's try this one tonight. And then you're like, oh, that's 5 out of 5 athleticism. I'm not feeling up for that. But some of them are very athletic and very calisthenic. They're not all going to be available to everyone, depending on like your knees and your back and your weight. I mean, there's things that play in, but that's the beauty. There's 64 positions to play with.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Nice. That was really close, Stormy. Okay, let's get to listener questions.
Have a question? We've got answers. Here's this week's listener question.
Okay. This one comes from The Fast and the Furious. In the last year, my wife has almost exclusively preferred quickie sex. I asked her about it, and she says she just feels like we don't have much time with our kids who are 5 and 8 years old running around and needing us. I'm feeling like she is losing her desire for me and maybe for sex. What can we do to rekindle our passion in sex life?
Yeah, so when I read your question, I think the first thing, and I literally say this to every listener question because it's so true, is rather than making an assumption that I heard really tenderly in there that you're assuming your wife has lost her interest in you, I really encourage you to ask her to say like, hey, you know, I'm noticing that our sex is really quick lately. And what I make that mean, which is a great way to say that, is that you might not feel as attracted to me. Is that true? Does that ring true with you? Right. So again, bringing that curiosity in a time of connection and asking her rather than assuming, because she literally might be like, no, I find you so hot and the quickies are so hot. Right. Like, I mean, who knows? Right. You don't know what her response is going to be. So the first thing was to ask her and have a conversation. Right. And I say a lot in a lot of episodes, it's like, it gives you an opportunity. Like when we make an assumption, we create a chasm, we create space because the assumption is the space rather than creating the communication creates a bridge. So rather than creating a bridge, right, even in the hard communication. So always encouraging our listeners to create the bridge, particularly in the realm of sex and sexuality. So that's the first thing. The second thing about your question about how do we keep it spicy, right, is like when you have little kids, right, we are going to do a whole episode on how to keep it spicy when you have littles running around, because that's a real thing. It's not an excuse. That's a real logistic in your life. Is like, create quick ways to keep there, have there be novelty and have there be spice. Like it might be like a stolen, you know, if that's fully consensual, like a stolen butt grab in the kitchen, right? It might be like a makeout, like standing over the dishwasher, whatever it is, right? Right. Like, so creating these moments, these stolen moments, it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be a huge amount of time, but really with the intention and attention, which you have already by asking this question, the listener has already putting intention and attention, and then sharing with your partner, like, you know, wow, I know we have littles running around right now, but I am so in desire for you. Like, how can we find time to like connect? Right. So you're increasing the dialogue on that. Those would be my tips for you.
Yeah. I love that. I think you're making a really good point too. I think sometimes, I know this even like in my past relationships, I didn't focus enough on those little things, like you said, like a stolen little butt grab or a quick kiss, mm-hmm. or something like that. And a lot of times I think we get into the doldrums of, I just don't feel like it, or today was so long, or whatever. And mm-hmm. the truth is that there is truth to that. And you're not wrong for feeling that way. But sometimes our emotions and our thoughts aren't exactly true. They're maybe mostly true, right. But mm-hmm. a quick kiss really can't, the same way as like when I don't want to work out, and then when I do work out, I'm like, gosh, I'm so glad I did that. My whole day's better. You know, I just know it is. Like this morning, mm-hmm. I forced myself to go for a walk run. I was like, I'm going to just mm-hmm. do that. I don't care. I'm just mm-hmm. getting out of the house. And when I got done, I was just like, man, I'm so glad I did that. I just, you know, I didn't mm-hmm. want to. I really wanted to just scroll my phone and then watch.
You could have made that choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And sometimes that is mm-hmm. the right choice, but other times, like mm-hmm. just getting yourself out of your comfort zone or like, you know, not allowing your thoughts or emotions just to go, just not now. I just don't feel like it. Or, you know, mm-hmm. if you can just let yourself have a few opportunities where it really does help mm-hmm. a ton.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next question. Last question. Birth control blues. My husband and I are trying to have a baby. I went off birth control a few months ago. During this time, I find that I have been less attracted to my husband. Is there any correlation to getting off birth control and lack of desire, sexual desire? So she's feeling like She just doesn't have the sexual desire that she had maybe before. And I think I've read this before, maybe, where there's, I don't know. That's, I don't know if this is a myth about birth control or not. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff about birth control out there.
There is a lot, right? And actually, like, the research would say it's very split, right? So it's like there's research that says there's no effect on birth control on libido and sex drive. And then there's studies out there that show there's a decrease, and then there's studies out there that show there's an increase. And so what they say, research says, is that we don't really know, like, right? There's some people report, most people report no change on birth control to their sex drive. But I found the study of 8,442 women, 15% same birth control pill, so same amount of estrogen, progesterone, 15% reported a decrease in libido, 21% reported an increase in libido, right? So we don't really know how it plays into one's own hormonal chemistry, that sort of thing. But we know that there's an impact on testosterone with a hormone-based birth control pill. So when you, so for this listener's question, when you go off of it, I would imagine that there's a restoration of your endogenous, of your natural testosterone, that's going to take a little bit of time, right? So one thing is, I would say, is you're not alone. This is it's commonly reported. Be patient with yourself to give your body time to come back online with its own hormonal regulation, its own endogenous estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. And then also one thing I would think, you know, that I was thinking on your question is that there's also a lot of stress. There can be a lot of stress with baby making, right? With the desire to have a baby. Maybe it's going easy, maybe it's not going easy for you, right? So noticing if you're feeling the energy of stress around this really exciting time of deciding to have a baby together, right? So, and if there is, that's okay, but then working with it, right? Because stress is a pleasure buster, right? So stress does not put us into pleasure, does not put us into libido, into desiring sex. So just noticing if there's anything going on in the relationship in regards to the baby making process, which, like, right, we always say it should be fun, but I can tell you my son is through a very lengthy, arduous process of in vitro. It was anything but fun. Like, the fun left way, way, way before I was actually able to conceive with like the help of like 6 PhDs and laboratories and everything like that. Right.
Same process.
So yeah, just being thoughtful about the stress of baby making and having grace for yourself and your partner would be what I would say about that. And then practicing all the ways, you know, that we've done episodes on sex drive. Happy to offer you and any of our listeners a free sex drive building guide. It's like an interactive guide. You can just email me, stormy@lovedeeplab.com. Any of you, including this listener who asked this question, and just put sex drive guide in the subject and I will send you that guide. But just wait, because sex drive is a practice, right? And you actually mentioned, Toby, just in the last question about being open to these moments. So when we're feeling like, oh my God, my sex drive isn't what it used to be, we've already predetermined that we're not open to it evolving, changing. So being open to the practice of increasing your sex drive, because that is a practice, and sex drive is not a static point. And I hear this listener that she doesn't think it's where it was, but it will get back there with your intention and with your attention.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Please send in your listener emails, listener questions through email. We sure would appreciate it. You can send it to stormy@lovedeeplab.com or toby@marriagesupply.com. And our next episode, definitely listen to the next episode. It's all your listener questions. We're doing a listener question only episode. It's actually called Listener Questions You Asked, We Answered. So that's coming up next after this episode. So we're excited about that. Listen in next week. As always, you can check out Dr. Stormy on Instagram at DocStormy1. The number one, and TikTok is Touchy Subjects with 3 S's at the end. And then Marriage Supplies on Instagram as well as the.marriage.supply. You can get 10% off at Marriage Supply with the code SEX101. Thank you guys for listening. We love doing this. We've been getting so many emails about how you're appreciating this podcast, and it means a lot to you. And that means a lot to us. So we really appreciate it, because knowledge is power, sex is power,
and the world needs more of both.